We've come to the last week of our series about the importance of serving in your church. In this series, we've talked to you about many of the benefits to serving, both to you personally and to the church. We've also explored how to overcome any reluctance that you may have about getting involved in serving in a ministry. And if you missed any of those weeks of our series, you can always go to our website and watch them at sthillary.org. But tonight, in this final episode, I want to talk with you about how to choose a ministry that is right for you. By now, I hope I've convinced you of the importance of serving in a ministry if you're not already. But you may be wondering, what does that look like? Choosing a ministry can be a lot like scanning the cereal aisle at the local grocery store. The options are a lot. There are a lot of options, and it can be a little overwhelming. But fortunately, you have a friend to help you choose a ministry. And he's right by your side, and that friend's name is the Holy Spirit. Tonight, we celebrate, the worldwide church celebrates Pentecost, an event 2,000 years ago when the Spirit of God came down on the first apostles like a strong driving wind and drove them out into service, into humble service of others. And from that miracle began the incredible 2,000-year mission of the church to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to every corner of the world. And it's a good thing that the Spirit did that, because the apostles, just like us, well, they wanted to hunker down and stay in their comfort zone. I think all people like that. We're all naturally inclined to, you know, remain in our safe spaces with people that we know and love and where we feel safe. But one of the great works of the Holy Spirit is to move us out of those comfort zones and into service of other people. That's why Jesus, in the gospel tonight, when he appeared after his resurrection to the 11 remaining apostles, he said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then look what happened next. He breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Receive the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that moves us out of ourselves, out of thinking about our own selves, out of our own navel gazing, into what we all know that we should be doing, and that is serving. And it's the Holy Spirit too, that friend, that advocate, that guide, the one who inspires you, who can also help you choose a ministry that's right for you. And so today I want to offer you a simple structure for thinking about and praying to the Holy Spirit about what you should do. We're going to use an acrostic that was developed by a pastor, Pastor Rick Warren at Saddleback Church, to help us think about this. The acrostic is called SHAPED. He calls it that because we are all shaped by God to serve him by serving others. And just like as our bodies are all shaped a little different, we all are shaped differently for different forms of service, different kinds of ministries. We're all shaped differently. And so let's dive in right away with that first S in the word shape. That stands for spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities given to you by God to serve the church. St. Paul says a lot about spiritual gifts. In fact, in today's second reading, he clarifies three essential aspects about spiritual gifts. Take a look. He says, first of all, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces them, all of them, in everyone. What Paul is saying is that every one of us has one or more spiritual gifts that can be used for the church. And no one has all of the gifts exclusively, and the gifts are not the same. There is a diversity of gifts. That's the first point he makes. The second point is this. He says, to each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. In other words, whatever spiritual gift you have been given, it is not for your benefit, it is for the common good and the welfare of the entire Christian church. It's the second point. The third point Paul makes tonight in the second reading is that the church is like a human body. He says, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so too Christ. Just like the various parts of the human body cannot function independently on their own, the same is true with the spiritual body of Christ called the church. We cannot function independently. We all need each other, all our spiritual gifts together to flourish spiritually. So what are some examples of these spiritual gifts? Well, you can find them in the Bible. And they are also, there's lists everywhere which are like the product of centuries of wise discernment by a lot of holy people. But I want to just give you five examples. There's many spiritual gifts, dozens and dozens of them. But I just want to give you five to give you a flavor. So administration and leadership is a gift, a spiritual gift when it's applied to the church. Evangelism, the ability to speak or about Christ or talk about your faith, that's a gift. Hospitality, the radical hospitality, the radical welcome that you may feel you want to offer to people who come for the first time to church, that's a gift. It's called hospitality. Generosity and giving is another spiritual gift, as is hands-on service. I encourage you to go to the great Google and type in spiritual gifts, and you'll see dozens of gifts, and pray about it and see which one you have or which ones you have. Whatever spiritual gifts you have, they can help you choose the ministry that's right for you, but they don't paint the whole picture. There's more to consider. So let's move on to the H in shape. That stands for heart. Your heart is the sum total of all your interests and desires, your motivations and your hopes. Your heart reveals what you are truly passionate about. And when it comes to ministry, you have to follow your heart. In my last parish, there was a man named Jim who was the Saturday night sacristan. If you don't know what a sacristan is, it's a fancy church word for someone who comes in to Mass and helps set everything up. So Jim would come about an hour early before Mass on Saturday evening, and he would lay out all the linens and the vessels. He would count out the communion hosts. He would set out the priest's robes and all the books and everything we needed for Mass. And he did a great job. He was reliable and faithful. And then one week after Mass, Jim pulled me aside. And he said, "Father, I've been doing this volunteer job for 15 years now. And I've never really liked it." I said, "Jim, why'd you sign up?" Well, he said, one of the previous pastors begged us. He said he was desperate. I said, "Jim, you should never get into a ministry or anything at all in life that you don't have passion and energy and drive for." I said, "What do you really like to do?" He said, "Well, I like to write." So he and I came up with a plan where he would write certain sections of the weekly bulletin. And he did a great job, and he loved doing it, and it saved me time. And today, I have to tell you, because of me, he is a published author. He published his first book called Insight and Suitability, which apparently is some sort of sequel to Pride and Prejudice, which is way over my head. But he's a published author because he discovered his gift, and he pursued it through ministry. So, don't ever settle. And don't ever get talked into doing something just because your church needs it or someone needs it. Do it because you love it. All right, let's move on to the A in shape. That stands for abilities. Just like God has given you spiritual gifts, God has also given you natural gifts, natural talents. And everyone has these, whether they're a spiritual person or not, whether they've been baptized or not, whether they're a person of faith or not. Everyone has natural abilities that God has given them. Some people are naturally talented at math and science, or music, or literature and the arts, or philosophy, business, politics, social relationships. Lots of talents out there. Lots of talents. And whatever you're good at, you can and should use to the honor and glory of God by serving your church. For example, if you're good with money, you could serve on our finance council. If your talent is really to plan and strategize and think through things and envision the future, you might want to apply for a position on our parish pastoral council. If your verbal skills are high, you might want to be a lector and read at Mass. If you're musically inclined, you might want to join our choir. If you're great with kids, we have a great kids ministry that you could help with. And if you're an arty kind of person, you like design and everything, you could also help with the worship space here. And if you're handy, like these gentlemen in the picture here, if you know how to fix things, boy, I could sure use you. We got a lot to do around here on the campus. And these gentlemen here are from our men's fellowship scripture group. And they just power washed and restained 9 benches on our campus, and they look beautiful. And they also did some work on the owl out by Tarantino Hall. Whatever your gift is, you can use it for the church. God will never ask you to do something that you're not good at doing. But whatever you are good at doing, put it to the service of the church. All right, let's go on to the P in shape. P stands for personality. I have often been told by my staff that we could make a lot of money if we started a reality TV show about church world, because there are so many personalities in the church and so many characters. It's crazy. But personalities are made by God. God made us all different. He made some of us like hard-driving, type A personalities, get it done at whatever cost. He made other people more laid back, relaxed, let's all get along and sing kumbaya kind of people. He made gregarious, outgoing extroverts as well as pensive introverts. He fashioned analyzers and doers, thinkers and feelers. Every personality, every temperament can be used in a ministry. But what you can't do, and what you definitely shouldn't do, is get into a ministry that doesn't suit your personality. That's a disaster. Take a look at what happened to these people.
Hello, my name is Michaela O'Connor Abrams. I'm head of ministries here at St. Hilary, and we are so glad you're interested in joining one of our ministries. But today, I want to make sure this doesn't happen to you.
You want me to put these I'm here.
Please.
I don't know if I can do this.
My nail.
Good morning, Bill. Welcome to the cash counting team. Well,
thank you, Kate. I'm looking forward to doing this. One.
Can you believe how many people came to our ministry mixer last weekend?
I know. It was like 120.
121, 122, 120.
Morning. Hi, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, actually, I have to go. If you don't mind leaving the station, that would be great. I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm sorry. Can you tell me where the restroom is?
It's over there.
Oh my God, I am so glad you called.
2, 3, 4, up. 2, 3, 4, up. 2, 3, 4.
Okay, somebody start talking pronto and don't give me any of that snot-nosed sniveling I keep hearing every week at this small group. Just man up, got it?
These ministry tragedies are so avoidable. That's why I'm here, to make sure you get into the right ministry for you.
Obviously, the skits in that video are intended to be spoofs that are supposed to be funny. If they weren't, I'm sorry. But the point that they're trying to make is that it can definitely be a disaster if your personality is not suited to your ministry. For example, the dainty donut lady might be better redeployed to a ministry that is a little less hands-on. Or the ditzy cash counter, he might do better in a ministry that was less detail-oriented. Or the lady who was in the young girl in the chapel who couldn't focus because she was on her phone and on the laptop, well, she would be great for our tech ministry. And that grumpy greeter, she could be redeployed in another ministry that is more behind the scenes and not so people-centered. And that drill sergeant, well, he might be able to start an early morning boot camp for parishioners who want to get in shape. Whatever your personality is, make sure it matches the ministry you choose. All right, the last letter on that acrostic is E, and it stands for experiences. Everything you are, the person you are today, is the result of all your past experiences. Your schooling, your education, your family background, your career choices, your religious practices, all of that make you who you are today. And God never wastes anything. He wants to use your experience in a ministry that works with that experience. And that includes your pain. That includes the difficult experiences you've been through. In fact, one of your greatest ministry might well come out of your greatest hurt. Who better to run a divorce support group than someone who has been through the heartbreak of a marital breakup? Who better to counsel a parishioner through a tough problem than someone who has been through it themselves? For example, a parishioner told me a few months ago that her ministry is to go visit homebound people, you know, people who can't leave their home. She said she loved doing it, and in particular, no offense, guys, but she loved visiting the older women who were homebound. I asked her why. She said, well, Father, I grew up without a mother, and that was very painful to me. But when I visit these older women, and we talk, and we pray, and I get to know them, they become mother figures for me. She is ministering out of her pain, and she is doing great work, and those who receive that great work are gifted because of her presence there. Use your experiences, even the difficult ones, to serve God. Well, there you have it. Your greatest ministry, your best ministry, will be one that the Holy Spirit leads you into, that uses your spiritual gifts, your natural talents, your past experiences, and that fits with your personality and what you love most. Last weekend, many of you attended our ministry mixer next door. Thank you for that. It was a huge success. Many people looked at what we had to offer, and many people signed up. If you're one of them, we will be in touch with you very soon. We're getting coordinated with training over the summer and so forth. If you've not yet signed up and you're on the fence and you're not sure and you're thinking to yourself, I know Father's been talking about this, I should do something, but I'm just not sure what, I'm not sure if my schedule works, keep praying about it. And I promise you the Holy Spirit is guiding you into service somewhere. Use this simple acrostic to pray through it this week and maybe you'll have a breakthrough. And if you discover something you want to do here in this church, just contact us. You can call us or you can get on our website at sthillary.org and express your interest there. And for those of you who are watching at home, this includes you as well. There's much you can do. You can be an online greeter. We're going to start that ministry soon. You can be a chat host at our online masses. You could lead a small group by Zoom. And you could also counsel fellow parishioners with the training we offer online as well. So please be thinking about that. You are part of our community, and we want you to serve here as well. Well, thank you for listening. You may have felt that this was like a four-week commercial, but I hope you didn't, because truly from my heart, I know you would get so much out of serving if you take that step forward, and your heart would be opened, your heart would overflow, you would be fulfilled and happy, and you'd be helping the church. So one last time, brothers and sisters, let's go. Let's say it louder. Let's go. Let's go. Amen.